Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
For Holy Communion this morning, I want to talk to you about the cup of blessing, the glorious privilege of the children of God. Everybody say the cup of blessing. As you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. When I first got my impressions of church, they were not all that great initially. As a young boy going to church for the wrong reasons because Dad said you got to go to church, it's Sunday, I admit sometimes I wondered what all the excitement was about. I didn't know why people shouted. I certainly didn't know why they were speaking in tongues and dancing and getting beside themselves. We went to a Pentecostal church, and we were just talking, Medna, about the little church that my dad attended, and they had a bluegrass gospel group that sang, and the pastor and his wife used to sing together, and people get all excited, and I didn't know what all the excitement was about. I didn't know why these people got they wept, and they laughed, and they danced, and they shouted, and I thought, you know, that's really great. That's fine. Whatever they're doing, that's great. It was a good time. I mean, at least I was entertained. It wasn't boring where people were doing that. I have been to assemblies where and God bless their hearts. They're not very expressive, and they would accuse us of being over emotional. So we have I don't fault anybody for not getting beside themselves like I do sometimes. I'm a Pentecostal preacher. That may scare some folks this morning, but it's kind of like the little boy. I tell our congregation often, for the sake of visitors that are here, that in a Pentecostal church, a full gospel church, a man was preaching. He started sweating, and his veins started standing out on his head, and he's walking back and forth across the platform, and he went to the end of his microphone several times out toward the audience, and he'd go out till his microphone pulled him back again. Amen. And a little boy that had never been in a church like that looked up at his mother, said, "Mom, if he gets loose, will he hurt us?" It can be a little scary when someone under the anointing really gets preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. But I've learned why people get so excited. I've learned why people get beside themselves. I've learned why that what some people would call emotionalism, and certainly it's emotional stuff. Amen. He hath made me glad is one of the songs that we sing, and it's based on Psalm 4. And it says, he hath made me glad more than in the time. Then there, speaking of the world, the pagan world, when the blessings come in their life, they show emotion. Can you say amen? How many remember, Let's Make a Deal? You go back that far in television when color was just coming in, and you could pick box number one or door number three. Amen. And the door would open up, and there sat a beautiful Maytag washer and dryer. Amen. I mean, that's back when a new washer and dryer was big stuff back then. Amen. You didn't have all these credit cards, and it was hard to get credit at Sears Roebuck. Amen. And so Roebuck back then, yes, Sears Roebuck and Company. And this lady sees this Maytag washer and dryer and starts jumping straight up and down for joy. Amen. And kisses Monty Hall or whoever he is. Amen. He got lots of sugar giving away washers and dryers. Amen. And they're jumping up and how about, and that's another one. Let's Make a Deal is where you come on down. Amen. And people come running. No, that's the Price is Right. I mean, just what about a Broyhill? Amen. It's Broyhill, man. I mean, that's shouting ground. People jump up and down. Well, the psalmist David said, isn't it amazing that religion is not a dead thing? He has made me glad more than in the time that their corn and their wine did increase. When the world gets blessed, the world acts blessed. Could you say amen? And when the church gets blessed, we ought to begin to act blessed. For we're the children of the Most High God, and we're the blood-bought children of God. Amen. Now, the old-timers have a saying, and I'll say it for the sake of anyone who don't understand it. It's better felt than told. If you've never experienced it, there's no way we can explain it. But the Bible does say that whom having not seen, we love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Could you say amen? If that glory ever touches your life, it's going to be a life-changing experience. And that glory touched my life the night I received Christ as my personal Savior. You can have all kinds of experience after salvation, but you'll never have an experiencing that is more powerful than the day that you came to Christ as your personal Savior. You may feel it better. You may be able to understand and appreciate it better, but it'll never be greater than the day that you came, amen, to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Could you say amen? So we're here to celebrate salvation this morning, amen, and talk about the cup of blessing. And the Scripture says the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. We have a denominational structure today, and some walls are necessary because some doctrine is not correct. And so we can't have talk about this unity in Jesus without some walls. Some walls are in place because they need to be there. Can you say amen? Because there is a faith that was once delivered to the saints, and we cannot and must not ever compromise that faith. But I think the loaf this morning that we're talking about here in this scripture is like the loaf that's been cut in a lot of sections. There's a lot of different denominations, but bottom line is we have to trust Christ as our personal Savior. We have to know it's through Him and Him alone that we can be saved. Amen. But there are brothers and sisters out there, amen, that believe that truth and they espouse the cardinal truths of Scripture. They may not be as demonstrative as we are, and they may not speak in tongues as we do. But I'll guarantee you one thing, if they know Jesus as their personal Savior, they are our brothers and they are our sisters. And no denominational tag is going to separate us from Him, and no denominational tag is going to separate us from one another. Can you say amen? Because we all drink of the same cup and eat of the same bread, we become part of the same body. Isn't that incredible? Everybody say brethren. Brethren. The word brother or brethren is used over 371 times in the New Testament. The same Greek word for brother or brethren. And it always has the same meaning. It's a family word. It's a close word because it means from the same womb. Everybody say from the same womb. Folks, I want you to know how God views you spiritually after He places you in Christ. Amen. He sees you, amen, as one. He doesn't see us as a group of individuals anymore. He sees us as one in His Son. Isn't that incredible? The New International calls the cup of blessing the cup of thanksgiving. Oh, let me finish my little story. So regardless of the tag over your church, if you've really trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're my brother. You're my sister, if you're a lady. And as I like to say, since the word means from the same womb, regardless of your denominational background, if you really know Jesus, we're womb mates. Can you say amen? I love the song that says, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Wouldn't it be great if Christians really united in our unity in Jesus and we strove together for the faith of the gospel? Amen. The gospel doesn't allow walls. There's a church in our city that has a name that, boy, I wish I had thought of. It's called the Church Without Walls. Because the true church doesn't have walls of separation, except from false doctrine and false teaching. And those walls are up for a reason. There's a world church coming without walls, too. But it's a church that's going to take in all kinds of different religions and faiths and unify them. And the Antichrist is going to use the world church to bring in world government. And then he's going to turn on that world church because he hates God, and His Spirit is Antichrist from the very beginning. But there is a true church in this world that's made up out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And we're part of that great and glorious body. I want people to know when they walk in this door, you're not walking into a clique. You're not walking into a group of people been together for years and you're an outsider. The moment you walk in here, you come into a place where there is a common ground. And we're going to talk about that in a few moments. Every Christian in this room, regardless of your background, amen, has come on a common ground at the foot of the cross. There's no rich men and poor men in this room today. There's no great intellectuals and know people that have problems with just the normal daily task of life that are challenged by that. I want you to know that we stand on common ground at the foot of the cross. Amen. You may be a college professor, which I doubt there's one here today, but it could happen. Can you say amen? And you may not have graduated from junior high school, but I want you to know at the foot of the cross, amen, one is not greater than the other. You may come here from a culture that is entirely different from someone else from another culture. Amen. But at the foot of the cross, amen, you lose all of those cultural identities and we become identified with Jesus Christ. That's what makes us one. Can you say amen? We being many are one bread. Therefore, we share the benefits of the blood of Jesus equally. Equal. There's no pecking order. There's no super spiritual people and people on their journey that are not as spiritual, and there's some kind of separation between them. So someone is speaking condescendingly down to someone else. Amen. Real pastors don't speak condescendingly to congregations. Amen. There's no proud, prancing attitude, amen, that looks down on anyone, anywhere. Amen. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest preachers of his day or any day. Wrote 13 of the 27 books. If you give him Hebrews, and I do give him Hebrews, who else could have wrote it but this mighty, amen, Jewish apostle. Hallelujah, the Apostle Paul. But anyway, amen, 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, Paul wrote. And yet he said, whatever I am, I'm only by the grace of God. He said, we're not sufficient as of anything of ourselves, for our sufficiency is Christ. He said, when I was with you, I was not with you, amen, and didn't preach the word with the eloquent words of man's wisdom, but I was with you in demonstration of spirit and power. I was with you in fear and much trembling. Can you say amen? He never got over his calling. He never got over his salvation. He never got over the fact that God would show grace and mercy to him. No matter what kind of deep revelations and realizations of God this great apostle had, he never got over simply being saved. Hallelujah. And he kept telling people on Mars Hill, he preached under such a powerful anointing. Amen. Those people on that hill said, the gods that have come down to us in the form of men. They practice polytheism, the worship of many mythical gods. Amen. And the Apostle Paul immediately opened his garment and showed them his bare skin. And he said, amen, give the glory to God and not unto me. I'm just a man like you are, but Christ has redeemed me. Jesus has saved me. Whatever I am by the grace of God. Isn't that incredible that a man with his credentials would stay so humble and exalt Jesus so highly? Amen. You know what we need today? We need preachers that will stay humble and exalt Jesus highly. The church doesn't need to see God's man of faith and power. They need to see God's man who came to hang on the cross for you and for me. By the grace of God, I am whatever I am. Hallelujah. Amen. We share the benefits of the blood of Christ equally. There's a church in Seoul, Korea, Dr. Paul Yonggi-cho pastors, and he started, because of the magnitude of that church, they started what they call cell group ministries in the homes. One thing that in a pastor's conference where I went 2 years ago in Cypress Gardens, I listened to Paul Yonggi-cho minister, and one of the things that I would take issue with, not to be divisive, but just I would take issue with, is the fact that he said in these cell groups, we try to get people together that share the same interest and shares the same things and on the same strata of economics. In other words, you've got a doctor and a lawyer together. They're both professionals, amen. But if you get a carpenter and a garbage collector together, amen, then they can talk one another. You got white-collar cell group and you got your blue-collar cell group. The problem I have with that is, amen, that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. We got to learn. Amen. You know what? It's so good to see a church of multicultural and a church that is multistrata. Amen. Isn't it good to know you're not going to be judged when you walk in a real church? Amen. Where Jesus is really exalted by what kind of car you drove up in. You're not going to be judged by whether you're wearing an Armani or a Salvation Army. Can you say amen? Amen. You're not going to be judged by that. When I first started preaching, I had a coat from the G&W Fashion Shop. Amen. Because I couldn't afford one from Sears, and it was too long for me. It was a 40 long, and I am, back then I was a 30 short. Can you say, man? And I put it on. It came way down here near my knees, and my wife didn't have a sewing machine. I hate to tell this on her. I mean, the coat was good. I could get by with the coat, but the pants were too long. The crotch hung somewhere down in here. I mean, even with them pulled up like my dad wears them. Amen. And so what my wife did, she just cut off the top of the suit. She just cut clean through the top of it. The thing of it was, there was no more belt loops. There was nothing. You know, this was not a great sewing job. And I remember putting on that suit. Amen. And pulling up my trousers. And, you know, when you cut that about that much off the top, there are no pockets now. There's just little pleats where pockets were. There's no belt loops. And now you put on a belt and you cinch it up to hold it up. And I put that on. And I... Well, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. Hadn't God brought us a long way to be able to go in JCPenney and get anything on the rack? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so I pulled it up and I put my coat on and my long coat. And thank God the coat was a 40 long. Amen. Because it covered all of that funny looking stuff. And when I get preaching, I forget about things like that I'm supposed to hide. Amen. Just like this morning, I was supposed to hide that. And here it is all out in the public. Amen. And I remember getting ready to go preach at some church. And I'm putting on this outfit that came from the G&W fashion shop. Altered, you know, tailor-made clothing. My suit, tailor-made. Amen. I only wear designer clothing. Tailor-made for me. But my wife told me, she said, "Now, honey, don't you get excited and get all hot and bothered and take your coat off." And I actually prayed. I remember praying. I said, "Lord Jesus, you know how excited I get when I talk about you. I forget everything but you. Lord, help me not to take my coat off tonight." Because then I'll become self-conscious if I see people looking or laughing at me. Amen. And as funny as it is right now, God honored, amen, a little preacher, amen, that was willing to wear clothes that he could get wherever I could get them, amen, to stand somewhere in a pulpit and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Actually, it looked pretty good as long as I kept my coat on. Amen. The great thing, I've been to pastors' conferences where there was a real sense that you were going to be judged by the scope of your ministry, the size of your church, the offering or the salary you received. What a tragedy it is not to represent this kingdom properly. I want you to know this kingdom is not about status. Amen. This kingdom is about becoming the children of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And partaking equally of the blessings and the benefits of the blood of Jesus. Amen. In a real church that is representative of God's kingdom, there are no big people and no little people. So Joe says, get the professionals together and the blue collars together because they have common ground. I believe the church is to represent a professional sitting beside an everyday worker. Amen. And seeing that everyday worker, amen, as a brother or a sister in Christ with the same spiritual standing that they have. The scripture said, if a man come to you dressed in goodly apparel, and you say to that man, comes into your assembly, and he says, you know, you sit here because you're wearing the fine suit, you came up in the fine car, and you tell someone that doesn't dress as well, you know, you don't deserve to sit in the seat of honor, so we're going to move you back to some other seat. He said, James said, you do show respect of persons, and that, according to scripture, is sin, because it misrepresents the kingdom of God. I'm so glad that the kingdom of God embraces everyone. Everybody say, everybody is a somebody in the kingdom of God. I want you to say that again because I want to teach that to you this morning. Everybody is a somebody in the kingdom of God. Let's say something else this morning. Nobody is a nobody in the kingdom of God. Listen, I want to tell you how high. Amen. In the old economy, before this redemptive grace has brought us into sonship, how high God esteemed John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man that God held in such high esteem. You know what Christ said of John? Jesus said of John, there's never greater been born of a woman than John. Amen. That puts him right up there with Abraham. That puts him right up there with Moses. Can you say amen? Never greater born of woman than John. That's how Jesus said God viewed John the Baptist. And there's never been a greater born of woman than John. But listen to the next verse. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Everybody say, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that extraordinary? You ever feel around super spiritual people and you're still grappling with your spiritual growth that you just don't fit the bill? And by the way, they'll let you know you don't fit the bill. Hey man, I used to have the hardest time getting through to God with so many helpers. I'd go to an altar and immediately I'd be swarmed on. I appreciate the concern, but somebody be telling me to turn loose, brother. Turn loose on one side. And on the other side, there was someone else with the best of intentions saying, hold on, brother. Just hold on. So I didn't know where to hold on or turn loose. Amen. And after a while, I had to just let God hold on to me. Can you say amen? And I found out it wasn't my grip on God that was my strength. It was God's grip on me. And I found that grip on me to be stronger than any grip that I could ever try to hold on to God with. Amen. If you ever come into this kingdom, God's going to get a grip on you. And Jesus said of that grip, the Father, those that my Father has given me. True believers are placed into the kingdom by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? And those that my Father has given me, no man will pluck them out of my hand. Everybody say, take them out of my grip. Hallelujah. For the Father that gives to me, He is greater than them all. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a place to be as a Christian this morning, held in the hands of a mighty God. Amen. We share the benefits of the blood of Christ equally. We being many are one bread. You can't bring your own cup to Holy Communion. I'm glad it's that way. Because some of us may bring in one of those little plastic cups from home. Amen. Someone else may bring in a golden goblet and someone else something out of lead crystal. Amen. And we'd all be drinking in a cup that represents the fact that we're at different levels in the strata of our society. Amen. But when Jesus passed the cup, the Holy Grail around, it was one cup for everybody. The same cup for everybody. If we did it Jesus' way and we don't for sanitary reasons today and all kinds of other reasons, maybe we can do it some Sunday if we really get close enough. And everyone brushes and gargles. Praise the Lord. Where are you going? Holy Communion. We're all going to drink out of the same cup. Gargle before and after. When Jesus passed the cup around, it was important that He passed the same cup to everybody. They all drank of that same spiritual rock that followed them, the Scripture said. That type of Christ to come. Amen. The Scripture said they all drank of that same spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Can you say amen? That's the commonality of the church. We come together to partake of Jesus. We are the partakers of Jesus. We're one bread because we partake of one bread. We become one bread. We become one with Him. Amen? And by the way, if you want to do a Bible research project, just look for a place after you become a Christian that you are ever apart from Christ in God's eyes. You're accepted in the Beloved. Everywhere you are seen, you're always seen in Him. Amen. What about when Christ comes? Where am I going to be? Where do I need to be? Listen, the Bible said in being found in Him. Can you say amen? And being found in Him. I don't know where I'm going to be on earth when Jesus comes, but I know wherever I am on this planet, I'm going to be in Him when He comes. Can you say amen? Christ in you is the hope of glory. You in Christ is a seal of that hope. Can you say amen? Can't bring your own cup to Holy Communion. Spiritually speaking, we all share the same cup. Because we've all been baptized into the same body. We become one in Jesus. one bread. Therefore, we're one with one another. Look at somebody and say, we're one in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you're not a Christian, you can be part of that unity before this service is over. The cross is the great equalizer. The foot of the cross, we all stand on common ground, where the least of us has the same spiritual standing as the greatest of us. Isn't that incredible? Nobody is a nobody in the kingdom of God. Our president, who has a Christian testimony had an alcoholic problem and had Billy Graham ministered to him and has accepted Christ as his personal Savior. If he was here today to share Holy Communion, you know, if he wanted to be in a Holy Communion service and said, where's there's a church somewhere in Tampa? And they went down the phone book and they said, here's one. And he called and said, are you having communion this morning? A secret service man called and said, are y'all having communion this morning? It'd be Southern Secret Service, man. Are y'all having communion this morning? Can you say amen? We'd say, yes, we are. Say, well, you know, we're going to secure the area, and the President of the United States says he wants to have communion before he's flied out. Can he come? Would you let him come, by the way? Would it be okay if he came? As long as the cameras stayed out and all that, and Secret Service stayed, you know, in the back. I want you to know, when he takes the cup, and then Pamela takes the cup, the President of the United States and a little pastor's wife, in God's sight, one is not greater than the other. The cross is the great equalizer. Hallelujah. I don't care what kind of anointing and gifts we have. The cross is the great equalizer. One day ministers are going to get it through their head, amen, that the basin and the towel is the way we're supposed to serve. Can you say amen? Not from a great spiritual height down to people, amen, but serving them as Jesus did, amen. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, but took on himself the form of a servant and humbled himself and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. Spiritually mindedness is a servant heart. Amen. And it's filled with humility. Can you say amen? It's not someone with great revelations speaking condescendingly down to others. It's someone with the understanding and realization that except for the grace of God, anyone in any condition, there go I. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can you say amen? The cross is the great equalizer. And when we come to Jesus, we come to a common ground. And that's why church becomes a family. Amen. Where you're not judged by what you've accomplished or what your past was or what you are by your color or your culture. Church is where it all blends into Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're His body. And His members in particular. And the hand doesn't say to the foot, I have no need of thee. Our president could stand here today beside Pamela to receive Holy Communion. And God would not see the leader of our nation and a little pastor's wife. He would see simply a son and a daughter. Isn't that incredible? Everybody say a son and a daughter. With equal standing. Everybody say with equal standing. Galatians 3:26 through 29 says, for ye are all the children of God. Every believer, you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you ever thought about the armor? How do you take the armor? By putting on Christ. Hello? I mean, you get right down to it. Who's truth anyway when you slap that belt on? He's truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Who's the Savior? You put on the helmet of salvation. Who's the Savior? It's Christ. Whose righteousness do you get? His. Breastplate is His. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? It's the armor of God. The Bible said put on the armor of light. What is this armor of light? Who's the light? Can you say amen? Christ is the light of the world, and He lighteth every man that comes into the world. His kingdom is a kingdom of light, and it always prevails over the kingdom of darkness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lust thereof. Put on Christ. Hallelujah. And you put on the armor of God. The greatest weapon against the devil, the greatest armament, is to put on Christ. What about the shield of faith? I'm glad you asked. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Faith is not a mystical force apart from Christ. It is trusting exclusively in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There are people in different strata of faith. Their churches consider themselves to be above other churches because they preach faith more prominently. Honey, nothing can put you above a child of God that's washed in the blood of Jesus. From the least of us, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. That means the kingdom puts us on a common ground. And it's greater than the old covenant saints could ever hope to achieve or acquire. What a kingdom this is. Amen. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Jesus Christ. America is a potpourri of cultures and races. But our common ground is we're all Americans. Isn't that great? We're all Americans. I don't know what my background is, but you know, my mom, my dad, and you go back to, I think, some Dutch and some Irish and some English and British. Seven brothers from England is where the Venable clan came from. I never run the tree any further than their landing here. Amen. And I don't know what they did after they got here. But that's as far as I can run my earthly family tree. Can trace it to seven brothers from England, the Venable clan. That's our nation. It's a blend. Amen. It's a blend. But our founding fathers saw it as one nation under God. Amen. Well, the church is a blend, but we're one nation under God. Can you say amen? The Bible said we are a royal priesthood. We, collectively, every one of you. Amen. We're a royal priesthood. You've got the privilege to go before God like the high priest and intercede through Christ. Amen. You can put on the ephod. When you walk into that place of prayer, you're not that little nobody. Amen. You're a royal priesthood. The Bible said, amen, in the book of Revelation, He has made us not just sinners saved by grace, but He's made us kings and priests unto God. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? When I pray, God listens. When I intercede, it's like the high priest standing, amen, and interceding. God honors intercession because He sees us with priestly qualifications. You're saints today. There are some churches, particularly in Catholicism, that they're deciding whether they're going to, if they can find one verifiable miracle, they can take the late Pope and canonize him and make him a saint. Wonderful thing about Jesus is the moment you hit the kingdom, you become saints of God. Isn't that incredible? You don't have to have a miracle attributed to you except the miracle of the new birth. Woo! You don't have to be a pope or even a preacher. You get sainthood granted to you by becoming a Christian. All of this happens at the foot of the cross. Woo! Isn't that incredible? We used to sit in the Holy Church of God, and it was an old building, but one thing that was so beautiful, they threw rocks through our stained glass windows, and people, just out of the benevolence of their heart, they gave, and we replaced those windows before we sold it, and it wasn't a raggedy old church when we sold it, and the sun on Sunday morning would come beaming through those stained glass windows, built in 1953, the leaded stained glass, and it gave it an aura, just had this holy feel about being in that place, amen, especially when the light was coming through. And a little boy went to church with his daddy, and there was stained glass windows with Peter and John and Jesus, and the light would come through on Sunday morning when he was in church with his daddy. And his Sunday school teacher finally asked him, "Jimmy, do you know what a saint is after a Sunday school lesson?" He said, "Yeah, it's somebody that the light shines through." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Pretty good definition of what we're supposed to be in Jesus. It's somebody that the light shines through. Well, let me tell you, when the light shines through, amen, it's Jesus that people are going to see and recognize. Hallelujah. Regardless of where we are in life, amen, that light can shine through you and that light can shine through me. I don't have to have on a suit this morning for the light to shine through. You should see me when I go into a processing room where I work. Because I have on these white clothes, this white uniform. And then I put on this big, goofy hat. It's big enough to accommodate any lady's hairdo. And so it flops on either side, this big, goofy hat. And, of course, there's a beard muff big enough to accommodate Gabby Hayes. Most of you don't remember Gabby Hayes. But anyway, amen. It hangs way down here. There's just a little bit of beard here, but the muff hangs way down here. And it comes up to my bottom lip. So you got this beard muff hanging down. You got this big buffet bonnet on. Amen. And I tell you, sometimes I get a glance myself in a mirror or something. I say, boy, that is a goofy-looking guy right there. Amen. Praise. That is really. And some people actually wear those goofy things out, except for the beard muff. You see them going down the road with this big old bonnet on. You know they work around food somewhere. It's for sanitation. And I think of the change that comes. I remember one time, you come and you put on a suit and tie, and what a change it makes. Same person, but you dress him up differently. We had a preacher preach for us years and years ago. An evangelist from the Church of God came, and he said, Brother Keith Barron, he's still evangelist now with the Church of God. And he came and he said, they've done the math. And if they ground you to powder and you go back to your basic elements for fertilizer and whatever, the basic elements in the human body ground down, you'd be worth about $20. He said, the amazing thing, this you could tell how long ago this was, you put a $200 suit on a $20 man. Clothes don't make the man. What makes the man, what makes the woman, is what's on the inside. Women, God made you beautiful. He did. Amen. He really did. And praise God. I got a brother over here in the corner saying, yeah, he did. He made you pretty for us to look upon. But then he warns you about your beauty. He said, don't let it just be with the outward as the plaiting of the hair or the putting on of apparel. But let it be the development of that inward man. Because that's where the real beauty lies. A lot of people married a personality and ended up living with a character. Can you say amen? I'm glad that my wife is the woman that she is after 42 years of marriage. You say, Brother Venable, why are you an independent preacher? Is there something wrong? What did you do? Well, I just followed Jesus. That's all I can tell you. Amen. He just led us in this direction. We don't have any problems qualifying ministerially. We're not here because we're some kind of renegades. We're here because this is the path that God has led us upon. And we love him and we love everyone else and all of these different structures. Amen. But we have a freedom and a liberty here to just be led by the Spirit of God. We're affiliated with Independent Assemblies of God International. They came out of the Azusa Street Revival and they were concerned about man beginning to try to manipulate the Holy Spirit instead of giving him free reign. And so they decided we're going to organize, but we're not going to get it so tight that each church can't move sovereignly under the mighty hand of God. So it's a good free place to operate in right now. But I want you to know we have a heritage and a history of faithfulness to the Lord's Word. But people judge you by what you wear, by who you are, by who you're affiliated with. They want to know about John. Who are you affiliated with? They want to know who authorized you, Jesus, to do these mighty healings. They ask a man had been healed, a blind man, by what authority did he heal? He said, I don't know. All I know is I was blind and now I can see. I don't get into the politics of this, of all the religious wrangling. Amen. I met a man that changed my life. Hallelujah. And I know him by name, and his name is Jesus. Isn't that what it's all about this morning? Praise God. All our coins bear the inscription. Every coin bears the inscription. E pluribus unum. E pluribus unum. And that's Latin for of many one. E of pluribus many unum one. You can hear it now, can't you? That's what America is. And the church is one bread out of many. If you want a wall, you can't build it in God's kingdom. You can build it in man's religious system, but you dare not build it in God's kingdom. That veil was rent from top to bottom. And the barrier between God and man, amen, was eternally broken. Do you realize they had to rebuild that linen veil to continue their system with business as usual? By the way, anybody here that has a sense now that you're a Christian, that you're better than someone else, you've got to get that out of you. Cast it. That's a form of spiritual pride, and there's no place in church for that. There's no place for white collar people only affiliating with the white collar and the blue collar only with the blue collar. This is where we show the world the kingdom. This is where we demonstrate what the kingdom is all about. This is where there is no big I and little you. I went in one day after working to it was actually a JCPenney when they were in this mall. I'd worked at the church all day, and I had on a T-shirt and a pair of jeans and a pair of tennis shoes, and I ran in for something that on the way home I stopped to get something. And, you know, I was having problem finding it, and no one came over to ask me, "Sir, may I help you?" Because, you know, guys in jeans, T-shirt, no big deal. But I went in after church one day with my son to pick up something. Same mall, same store. Had on my shirt and tie and my shine shoes and my hair fixed just right and my smelly on. Old spouse, you know, smelling good. And I went in and I was looking around and there was salespeople coming. "Sir, may I help you? Sir, may I help you?" I thought, you know, I'm the same guy that I was when I was working on the church and came in here in my jeans. The only difference is I've dressed him differently. And there's an appearance now that I'm being judged by. See, the world looketh on the outward appearance constantly. Amen. There's no real substance in the way they judge things. But God goes deeper than that. God looks deeper than all. Aren't you glad God looks deeper than that? There are even doctrines out there that tell you you're not using your faith unless it lifts you to a certain strata. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. My Bible said to be content. If you're a Christian, be content with what you have. Best way to get more is to thank Him for what you got. Hallelujah. Not feel like you're a second-rate citizen because you don't live in a gated community. Oh, by the way, you're going to live in a gated community one day. Can you say, man? The gate is made out of one solid pearl, praise God. Now, isn't that going to be incredible? Finally, Sister Venable, we're going to live in a gated community. Glory be to God. That's not what makes anybody who they are. Some of the greatest missionaries the world has ever known has given up everything just to carry Christ to the nations. One man came back with Teddy Roosevelt, who had been on a safari in Africa on a hunting trip. It actually happened, and a man was retiring from missionary work because his health was beginning to fail. He was getting up into the latter years, and he just didn't have the strength and energy. He was retiring from something like 40 years of giving his life to foreign missions in Africa. And he came back on the same boat with the President of the United States, who had been on a hunting trip in Africa. And when he got back, there was a ticker tape parade for the President. There was a band playing. There was a great limo to pick him up. And there was an entourage to go with him back of reporters back to the White House and to welcome him back to America. And here came a man that gave 40 years of his life to missions. And here came one guy down to pick him up. Nobody else there to see him. He just gets off the boat, and here comes a guy with a sign with his name on it and said, "Are you so-and-so?" He said, "Yes." And he says, "Well, here, I'm to pick you up from the Mission Society, and I'm to take you there, and then you can go where you want to." And he's kind of bowed, and he's walking slowly, and he gets in. He's give his life. He's give up everything for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no allocates. There's no parade. His name isn't in lights. He hasn't written bestsellers. He's not on television. Can you say, man, how he's going back to just a humble life to live out these days? And he's sitting in the car, and this guy pities him. He looks at him and says, "You spent all of these years in your life, and you come home and look at this. Look at the President just got here. Look what they did for him. You come home and there's nothing for you." Then he looked at him quickly, and his eyes began to twinkle with joy, and he said, "Young man, I'm not home yet." Isn't that good? I'm not home yet. You're going to be amazed who God exalts. I love Billy Graham's humility. I love his humility. I love his humility. Amen. Larry King asked him in an interview, Billy, you've touched so many lives. He said, no, the gospel has touched me. He just won't take the credit for it. He said, but Billy, but God used you. He said, you know, when I get home, he said, one of the questions I'm going to ask him is, Lord, why did you choose me? Isn't that incredible? That's a good answer. Amen. Because if we think we know that we're good enough, we're great enough, amen, then we're not the person God is really looking for. I don't know why God chose you. I don't know why he chose me. But we are a chosen generation. Can you say, man, we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, one body. Praise God. Oh, and we are a peculiar people. Look at somebody and say, tell me about it. It's not that kind of peculiar. It's a different kind of peculiar. What makes us different is we have been washed in the blood of Jesus. We're a blood-bought people. We share a common grace and a common faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Of many one, the true church is made up of sinners who have repented, trusted Jesus as their Savior. How many agree with that? We stand together as one great body of many one. The communion cup is the same for us all. We remember our Lord's suffering and sacrifice. We should sense a connection with the true Christians around the world. I was in Haiti, and I didn't have transportation after I took a tap-tap, which is just simply you jump in the back of a truck and you throw the money to the man, and you jump in the back with a whole bunch of other people, and it's an open truck in the back, and you hang on. There's a thing up here built for you to hang on to, and you better hang on, because the more people they pick up and let off, the more money they're making a day. And it's the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, so I'm hanging on for dear life. And you know why they call them tap-taps? When you want. There are no cab stops or bus stops or truck stops or no stops, period. When you get where you want to be, you work your way over, you see it coming, you get near the top of the truck, and you beat on the top of it. That's tap-tap. You beat on the top of it, he'll stop and let you off. Amen. So I couldn't find a tap-tap on this morning. I need to get out to an orphanage that we were supporting. And I'm walking down the road, and a man comes by in a Jeep Wrangler. You don't see many of them things. I don't, you know, they were doing well. He come by in a Jeep Wrangler, and he pulled up beside me, and he stopped, and he was a Caucasian like me, and he spoke with the French accent. He was French-Canadian. He said, where are you going? And I told him where I was going. He said, do you need a lift? I said, sure I do. And he said, I'm a Christian. I said, well, I'm working with an orphanage. And immediately, I mean, we didn't need any introductions. We didn't even need to talk fully the same language. Amen. Because there was a thick French accent coming from him. But immediately, amen, we recognized each other as brothers in Christ. We were there to lift up Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He was glad to give me a lift. Amen. As much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men, the scripture said, but especially those. I mean, if we're going to be gracious to anybody, we're supposed to be good to everybody. But especially those of what? The household of faith. Can you say amen? Glory to God. They that are of the household of faith are Abraham's seed by faith. Amen. Singular seed. Amen. And the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them collectively. Have come upon them corporately. The choice blessings of God are not for a choice few. Super spiritual people. Amen. You qualify for His choice blessings the day you receive Christ as your personal Savior. Isn't it good to know? Hallelujah. I'm going to hurry and close, but I'm going to get past a whole lot of good stuff because we could be here and have to order lunch. Let me hurry and close. These blessings that have come on us, this particular blessing of salvation, there's nothing greater in all the world. You become a son of God. You're not on probation. Can you say amen? When I got saved, I immediately became God's son. I didn't have to earn sonship. I had it the day I was born again. I remember when my little boy was born, Alan, who's now 42, almost 42. Wow, my son is almost, I'm a great grandfather. I want you to know, I don't mean that I'm just a good grandfather. I'm a great grandfather. I've got a great grandchild. Amen. Isn't that incredible? Everybody say, he sure don't look it. Oh, thank you. Thank you. See, if you don't say that, I have trouble telling you this. Praise God. It's just to hear that I even tell it. I'm not just a granddad. I'm a great granddad. I never thought I'd see the day that I'd be this handsome and still be a great granddad. I thought great grandparents were really, really looking old. Of course, that's how I see myself when I go to the mirror on the wall. I'm a great grandfather. That's incredible to me. But I remember my son, this part of the Venables. I'm Robert. My dad is Robert S. Venable. My son is Robert. I'm Robert A. Venable. My son is Robert A. Jr. And my grandson is Robert A. Venable III. And my great grandson dropped all of that. It stopped that. So I'm glad there's too many when they. Yeah. Praise God. But when they brought him to the window, I remember two little round porthole looking things in the old Plant City South Florida Baptist Hospital. And when they brought my son to the window, they hadn't even cleaned him up good. A nurse just brought him over there and stuck him up to the window. And I looked, and boy, he was ugly. Everybody looks at this little thing in that condition, a little wrinkled up, you know, looked like a cabbage patch kid. Amen. I think he just, all, you know, looked like he was making that face, you know. And boy, but he was my son. I had a son, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Amen. I was so proud to be a daddy. Amen. Until I started changing diapers. Anyway, I did. I helped. I participated. I was in there. I was right in there. Believe me, I was in there. Hallelujah. But that was my son. And immediately, he had my acceptance. I didn't let him grow up to see what he would become or whether he would please me or displease me. Immediately, amen, I told everybody I met, I'm a daddy, I've got a son. And I want you to know the day you got saved, God got a son. God got a daughter. You don't earn that. You don't work for that. You don't work your whole life toward that. You get it the day you become a Christian. Now, Paul said, you are the sons of God. We know that right now. It doesn't appear what we're going to be in the total glorified life that lies ahead. But that'll take care of itself when we get there. But right now, in the nasty here and now, we are the sons of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we have that inheritance the moment we become Christians. We could go on forever. But let me close with this. Columnist, this is from Our Daily Bread devotional book. Columnist L.M. Boyd recently described the amazing good fortune of a man named Jack Wurm. What a name, Jack, W-U-R-M. In 1949, Mr. Wurm was broke and out of a job. One day he was walking along a San Francisco beach when he came across a bottle with a piece of paper in it. This is in 1949. This is a true story. As he read the note, he discovered it was the last will and testament of an eccentric lady. Her name was Daisy Singer Alexander, heir to the Singer Sewing Machine fortune. This is incredible. The note read, quote, "To avoid confusion, I leave my entire estate to the lucky person who finds this bottle and to my attorney, Barry Cohen. Share and share alike." That means 50-50. But whoever finds the bottle and her attorney who would administrate it. Isn't that incredible? Everybody say, that's incredible. I can just see some of you saying, I'm going to be. I'm going to hunt me some bottles. Who knows? That's an eccentric thing for this lady to do, but she did it. That's an extraordinary thing for this lady to do, but she did it. That's an extraordinary event in this guy's life, but it happened to him. I don't believe he's going to let that go because it's too extraordinary. Would you let it go? I'd follow it up. According to Boyd, the courts accepted the theory that the heiress had written the note 12 years earlier. Handwriting analysis and other things confirmed it. and had thrown the bottle into the Thames River in London, England, where it had drifted across the oceans to the feet of a penniless, jobless man by the name of Jack Worm in San Francisco, California. His chance discovery netted him over $6 million in cash back in 49 and Singer stock. Everybody say Singer sewing machine stock. Boy, we got a fleshly crowd today. You start talking about, we start talking about Singer stock and cash, and everybody's going, yeah, oh, yeah. His chance discovery netted him this kind of money. How would you like to have been making Mr. Worm's footprints on that San Francisco beach? What a find. What a discovery. Now let's compare Jack Worm's inheritance with yours. If you're trusting Christ as your Savior, you've become an heir with Christ. The Bible said we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Your eternal future is secure. Hallelujah. If you keep trusting Christ, no man will pluck you from his hand. Think about what you have. Think about what it will mean to you 1,000,000 years from now. Remember the song, 10,000 years, it'll just be started. 10,000 years, it'll have just begun. Death won't cancel this blessing. Can you say, man, it's eternal and it's forever. Praise the Lord. Try to imagine the eternal life, the eternal happiness, the eternal gratitude, the eternal peace, the eternal profit. $6 million in Singer stock doesn't even compare to our spiritual inheritance through our standing with God because of Jesus Christ. Can everyone in this room say amen this morning? Will you stand to your feet? Then we're going to sit back down for Holy Communion. I just want you to stand in honor of the Lord today. If you'll put on number one on that song. Brother, would you get ready to service communion today? We have a wonderful deacon in Brother Willie. Amen. We'll get name tags later. Right now, he's just deacon doing the job. We're so grateful today. It's so good to be able to stand here and tell you that God loves you. And that every one of your sins can be forgiven. And that you can come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. And the moment you do, you become a child of God. And you're brought into the family of God. And we embrace you and we love you because you're our brother and you're our sister. Hallelujah. In Haiti, they sang the praises of God in French Creole. They said things in praise. Béni soit l'Éternel. Béni soit l'Éternel. And I asked Francois, my interpreter, I said, what are they saying? They're saying, praise ye the Lord. And I said, you know, I don't even have to understand it to praise God with them. Because I see the joy and I feel the closeness. Amen. Hallelujah. One word in every culture that's the same, and that's hallelujah. Praise you, John. Hallelujah. And I heard them say, Benny swallowed the name. Hallelujah. And then I heard a name in French Creole. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 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 And I said, I know that. Francois, I know what they're saying now. Jesus. 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 Jesus, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for going to the cross for us. We thank you for dying on that cross. This cup that we bless. This cup that we give gratitude and thanks for, is it not the blood of Jesus? And this bread that we bless, is it not the body of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You feel the connection with the church. With the church, out of every kindred, tongue, and nation, and people, they've come in the book of Revelation. At one point, John is being escorted by an angel, and he sees people, different races, cultures, and nationalities coming to worship the Lamb. And one of the elders said, who are these? And John said, you know who they are. And the elder said, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, here today, these are those. These are those. These are those. Hallelujah. Let's just wait a moment in His presence. Just to honor you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Is there anyone in this room today would like to know Jesus as your Savior? Do you realize you could accept Jesus in the next 3 minutes? Inherit eternal life in the next 3 minutes? And receive communion with us? And it could all happen. In the next 3 minutes, every sin could be forgiven. You could be sealed by the Holy Spirit. You could join the blood-washed throng that will stand before Him on that day and give Him praise and live in that place forever and never have the circle broken because we'll be there together. Is there anyone in this room would say, Pastor, before communion this morning, I'd like to mark this day in this communion service by receiving Jesus as my personal Savior. Anyone in this room God is talking to this day? Anybody here that God is talking to about salvation? Could you just lift your hand? Anyone in this room? Second question, real quick before we receive. Anyone here that has known the Lord, but you want to make a brand new, fresh commitment to follow Him and trust in Him, and you want to be able to take communion this morning? Anybody in this room? Anybody here? Anybody here that God is speaking to, talking to? Hallelujah. How many are glad you're here to receive communion today? The same night our Lord was betrayed, He took bread and He blessed it. He took one loaf and He tore it in half. And He said, this is my body. It's going to be torn. It's going to be marred. It's going to be mutilated. But it's going to give you life and strength. This is my body that is broken for you. And my brother and my sister, that's what gives you such worth today. Because this body was broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, He said, remember me. Remember me. You may eat the bread. And then He took the cup and said, this is the new covenant. I know it says testament, but even the New Testament, the word testament means covenant in the Greek. This is the new covenant in my blood. He said, it is shed for many. So often as you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. You proclaim His death for you on the cross till He comes. And here we are in the 21st century doing what Christians did in the first century, proclaiming that we are saved and we are set free through the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed at the cross. You may drink the cup.